Hey folks, welcome back to another episode of the Evil Dungeon Master Universe podcast. I am the Evil Dungeon Master Vince. Hopefully you're having a great time listening to these role-playing game podcasts on Spotify or Apple Podcasts or even YouTube at this point. Don't forget to hit the like button or give me a nice follow on Spotify and a five-star review if you're enjoying these. So I wanted to talk again about, because when I was looking through my notes in my DC Heroes notebook for my Batman website, I had actually located in a couple ideas I had wrote down as things I was using for a campaign. And one of the campaigns that came to mind was when I had a villain named Dr. Vortex, and he had the ability to manipulate energy and open up portals. So that was what he did. So this campaign that I ran, it was set in a version of Metropolis I called Metropolic. I had a tendency to rename DC cities so I could do my own thing, not worry about any canon. I mean, I could have used, like, real cities from the world, but I didn't want to have to worry about street names and towns and stuff like that, because my players used to be like, "That's not a real town in New York," or, "Well, shut up." So the villain, Dr. Vortex, had taken over the city. He was like a mad scientist type with the abilities to manipulate energy. And he figured out a way to create portals to other dimensions so he can pull things through and send things through. He used his powers to isolate the city from the rest of the world. So let's think of that. There was a big dome on the city. And he wouldn't allow anybody in. And he was ruling it with an iron fist. Now, you remember, I mean, I'm just a teenager here, so I didn't think about food, water, things like that. That was just like one of those things the villain took care of it. Who cares? Just a game. So he put this dome over the city. Our heroes, going back to what I've described in the Cersei campaign, the Claw, the Dark Spider, and Ultraman were the only thing that stood between him and total domination of the city. Because, well, the Claw was the team's close combat specialist. The Dark Spider was the stealth and reconnaissance person. And Ultraman was the powerhouse of the group. So the group started out by finding out that Dr. Vortex had taken over Metropolic. They first had to find a way into the city because obviously there was an electrical barrier around the city, like a giant dome on the city, so like a bubble, electrical bubble, so to speak. Kind of think like, you remember that TV show Under the Dome, how they had that giant dome over the city? Think about one of those things or whatever barrier around the city. So they had to figure out a way to get into the city. The Dark Spider was basically somewhat of a copy, carbon copy of Peter Parker. So he figured out a way to combine various iron metals with a diamond so he can reflect the barrier enough so they can get inside. Now, the easy part was, yeah, you think that's the easy part, but that was the easy part for them. The hard part was navigating the city, dealing with Vortex minions and the chaos his rule had caused. They encountered various challenges along the way, like energy barriers here or there. They had to, you know, use his special abilities to get through it now. And dimensional anomalies, where things would be backwards in time, moving fast forward in time. People would be warped into various stretch forms, so they'd be like a really tall, tall, flat person, or a really short, thin, lined person. And it was just weird how it was just doing weird, just like as if you were in acid trips and things like that. And they had some brainwashed citizens. Obviously, the citizens were now brainwashed at this point, worshiping this great Dr. Vortex. So once the group figured out where his lair was in the city, the heroes finally confronted Dr. Vortex. It was a grueling battle with Vortex using his powers to, you know, as much as he could, like throwing open weird portals, which would shoot out creatures that they had to fight, warped items like, you know, pieces of cars or metals and anything he could do to prevent them from getting to where he was in the lair so he can try to figure out how to escape. Because I had him researching a way to open up a portal to get out of there really quickly, but he was not able to do that since he had to use most of his power and ability to hold back the three heroes who were trying to get in. Finally, after a while going back and forth and back and forth, the Dark Spider managed to shoot a web with one of his smaller crystal, small diamond metal contraptions that he made, kind of like a little mirror, enough that it disrupted the energy barrier around Dr. Vortex, and the Claw charged right in, just like Wolverine would do, and got a nice frigging critical hit right on his chest, stabbing him right through the heart. Dr. Claw, stumbling backwards, fell into one of his portals that he opened up at the last minute. Now, we don't know. I never actually continued with Dr. Vortex. But he fell through one of his portals that he opened up in an emergency. So I never decided. It could be like, you know, the Phantom Zone for all I know. But he's out there somewhere floating in my own DC universe where he is alive. I decided that he was alive, even though Wolverine, or to Wolverine, the Claw got a really good blow on him and almost killed him because he was very low on health at that point. But he went through one of his portals and he was defeated. The energy barriers around the city dissipated with him no longer there maintaining it, and Metropolis was free once more. The heroes were hailed as saviors, and they knew they'd done a good job, obviously, because they saved the city. It was a tough campaign because they had to make a lot of moral decisions, because they were brainwashed citizens, and the Claw very much so liked killing. I ran a lot more grittier, because DC, at this point, when I was reading comics and everything, they were getting a little more gritty, and I did like reading a lot of Punisher as well, and Deathstroke. So my campaigns were gritty, so I let the heroes get away with kills that were conducive to the campaign. So if it was a bad guy that needed to die, then they could die, especially if the bad guys are trying to kill them. So it's all fair. Yeah, I know in superhero games you're not supposed to kill as a hero, and you get hero points taken away from you, or if you're playing Marvel, it's, you know, karma points. Automatically you lose them all, and it happens. I mean, one of my favorite games that I was playing a couple years ago, they were playing, and I said, okay, if you guys can get through 5 minutes of not killing anybody on purpose or accident, you will not lose karma. It took them exactly 1 minute into the game session that day to kill him. I was like, ugh, you lost all the karma, guys. So, yeah, that happens. But it was a tough campaign, but they came through in the end. It was a great experience for all of them. They actually really, really liked it because of they had to actually figure out how to get around all these people that were trying to kill them, but they were brainwashed. So you got those moral dilemmas. And the Claw had to actually, instead of killing people like you like to do, had to actually not kill them. And Ultraman was basically the, you know, like the heart and soul of the group. He was mimicking Superman. And every time the Claw would try to do something that would kill somebody or want to kill somebody, he would step in and be like, you know, listen, you know, we're supposed to be good guys. Good guys don't kill. We try to help out and see the good side of everyone. So the Claw reluctantly listened to him while the Dark Spider just basically kind of giggled to himself, because the Dark Spider wasn't into killing all that much. He was more of a, like I said, a reconnaissance type guy. He would try to tie people up, or, you know, sneak up from behind them and knock them out, kind of like a Solid Snake type character. Even though that really, I don't think that really existed back then, though. Well, there was a Nintendo Solid Snake, so it may have existed. I don't remember, but that's what he did mostly in his camp, in our campaign sessions. Now I have a lot more of these written down, not word for word, because I'm going off a lot of memory here, but I did keep some kind of notes, some scribbles on things of what that happened, just to, you know, remember it in case the campaign ever did continue with these three characters and these three players, which we never did. I played various games with these guys, but we never went back to DC. I mean, that's just how we were. When we were that young, we played games and we jumped from game to game all the time. It was just whatever interests you at the time, that's what you're going to play. And sometimes, you know, at that age, you're just like, yeah, I want to play Turtles. Okay, I'm bored with Turtles. I want to play D&D. All right, I'm bored with fantasy. I want to play a sci-fi game like Star Wars or something. That's just how it happens. Right? You just play whatever you think is fun, and that's what we did. But we played it for a good portion of the summer into school, like I said, into Christmas break. And then I think we played one or two more games after Christmas break. I don't remember. But I know it was a good time, and everybody always enjoyed playing, but I guess we just never got back to DC. We played more, unfortunately, we played more Marvel. I didn't really run the Marvel. My other friend did. He loved it a lot, so that was just how he ran things. But, you know, sometimes I like to play, and every GM should at least try to play once in a while. I don't really play much anymore because I'm always running games for my group, and no one else wants to run games, which I don't have a problem with. But, yeah, I like to try to play every once in a while if it really interests me. Sometimes games just don't interest me, and that's understandable, so I'll just run the game myself. Like we've always said in the past, if you don't like the game, you're happy to run your own game. And I was that person, be like, yeah, I'll run my own game. And people were happy with that, because then they didn't have to worry about being a GM the whole time. Well, hopefully you enjoyed this story. Tell me what you think in the comments. Tell me what you think about on Spotify. Also, I usually try to leave up a poll, if I remember, or like there's what did you think of this episode thing where you can just fill in, I thought it was cool or something on Spotify. So you can go to anchor.fm/TheEvilDM to get all the new stuff involving my DM Universe podcast. And you can head over to youtube.com/TheEvilDM if you want to do the audiogram version there, if you like YouTube, because a lot of people like YouTube better. I don't know. Hey, I'm here to give you what you want. With that said, I'm going to head out. Keep it original. Keep it old school. Good night, and God bless everybody.